We all, I think, you know, I say we all because I'm familiar, you know, most of us here on Sunday night, we've been around the church and so on long enough that we know about giving, and as far as I know, I don't check on everybody, but all of you are givers. But I think it's important that we do, you know, review what the Bible has to say and renew our commitments and just kind of strengthen our faith in these things and our understanding. And so when you talk about stewardship, of course, you know this, but you really, you'll never get very far in being a steward of what God's entrusted to us until we learn a very simple and basic truth. And I mention this every time, perhaps, that I preach on the subject, but that is that, first of all, because it's just such a foundational principle, and that is, first of all, that it all belongs to God. We must understand that. We have to just keep that in our heart and mind and really look at what we have in that sense, that what we have has come from God, and really it's given to us, not just for us to, you know, it's not the, He's given us much, but I guess really all of it we're a steward of and responsible for how we use it, and surely that applies to our money as well. So just some verses to think about as we consider the fact that God owns it all and that He has allowed us to have what we have. In Psalms 24, verse 1, I'll read you just some of these if you want to jot down the reference. He says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." In Psalms chapter 50, in verse 11, God says, "I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine." In Haggai chapter 2 and verse 8, He even says, "The silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts." So God owns everything there really in the universe. Even He says in Ezekiel that all souls are His. So we belong to God, and what we have belongs to God. And if we just kind of approach the subject of finances and stewardship and giving with that in mind, it really makes it all kind of make sense and makes it all easier to to wrap our heads around or to let go our fingers of the what God wants us to do in giving. Another scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18, He says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day." So we understand that even the ability we have to earn money or to acquire money is given to us by God. So when we think about giving, as it's indicated in this story about the widow and her mite, it's not a matter of how much money I'm going to give God, but it's a matter of how much of God's money I'm going to keep for myself. And really, we should think about it in those terms. It's not another thing that probably comes immediately to mind when we read about this widow casting in her mite, two mites, which make a farthing, which was very small in comparison to those that cast in much. However, Jesus said her offering amounted to more. And the reason for that is because it's not the amount, it's not the size of the gift that impressed the Lord, it was the size of her sacrifice, right? It was the size of, it was the amount, in other words, of what she had to give, she willingly gave it all. So that's kind of a principle we want to think about. So I just have some points, and we're kind of going to launch from there into many, many verses all through the Scripture. But I wrote down three things, actually two. I only have two main points. There was a third that I dropped off. But the first thing we need to look at is the purpose for our giving, all right? And it's important to do that. Just this 2 weeks ago, well, a week ago today, we were talking with the teenagers in our class, and we were talking about prayer. I've had a few lessons, and I just kind of been going with this idea of I talked to them about how is your faith and how is your prayer life. And then today we talked about how is your theology. But in prayer, one of the things I was thinking about and kind of helped me even, you know, sometimes I can help myself even when I study stuff. But we were talking about prayer and trying to convey to the teenagers, I almost said children, to the teenagers about prayer. You know, what should you pray for? How do you pray? And I thought about, well, what is the purpose of prayer? When you just understand the purpose of prayer, it helps you understand how to pray. And as we looked at it, I think you can boil it down to essentially, it's really the purpose is to glorify God. When we understand that, it helps us in thinking about what we should ask for. And so when we think about giving, what's the purpose of giving? Why does God want us to give? Now, I wrote down a Psalm 50 or somewhere in that area of Psalms. Let me find the verse. Yeah, it's Psalms 50, verse 12. And you've heard this before. God said, "If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof." And that verse just kind of reminds us that it's not that God needs our money, right? I mean, because he owns it all anyway. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He can create, he created the gold in the mountains. I mean, so it's not a matter of us, you know, of him needing our gifts. So what is it? And I think you know the answer. It's not that difficult. He wants our heart, right? That's what God wants. In giving, he wants our heart. He wants our heart in all these matters. But certainly in the matter of giving, he desires our heart. And the Bible says clearly that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So now when you think about that, just like with prayer, that helps me to think about even how to give. We're to give from our hearts. So we give out of obedience to God's word. We're going to see that in just a moment. We give because it's right. But we should seek really to give from our heart. And I think when, you know, you think about that story about the widow and so on, those who were just casting in out of their abundance, and perhaps, you know, the idea of that, I suppose, is that it wasn't really much sacrifice, and, you know, they could probably, like we say sometimes, they could probably give that much without batting an eye, you know, kind of a thing, right? Which is to say, it wasn't like they had to even consider it. Just, oh, well, I have this in my pocket, you know, and they gave it. And they'll never miss it. And so that's sort of in the context of that story, it's kind of the idea you get. Now, I don't know if that's completely accurate. But the point is, when we give that way, nothing wrong as far as, you know, God's thankful that you gave, I'm sure, right? And I'm not saying that facetiously. I mean that to be true. But it doesn't come from the heart. When we give, you know, because our heart is in it, I think that's what we should aim for when we give. And so, I kind of put it in those terms because I suppose not every offering that you give, maybe you give it because, you know you can, there is some of your heart in the sense that you want to, but then there's more, there's matters of when we more have a heart for it, and we ought to always look for opportunities to give in that way. So I put down a few things that, you know, giving does reveal our heart. So I put this down, letter A, our giving demonstrates whether our heart is compliant with the Word of God. As I said, it's scriptural to give. It's scriptural to tithe. We'll talk about that in a minute. It's scriptural to give offerings. And so it's just a matter of obedience in some regard. It's just simply doing what we know God commands us to do. In Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse 22, he says, "Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year." And he says in Proverbs, these are just a few of many references that could be made. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So the Bible commands us to give. The Bible mandates that. It encourages us. It advocates giving and putting God first. And so it's a matter of obeying the Scripture. That's part of the purpose in which we give. But also, something else about our heart. Our giving demonstrates whether our heart is committed to the will of God. Right? Because there's that involved in it. I thought of this scripture in Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Paul was talking to the Ephesian elders, and he said, I have showed you all things how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to what? To give than to receive, right? So, you know, God is committed to taking care of his people and his church, and it's his will to do that, but he uses us to do that. And so, as I thought about, you know, this idea of our heart is committed to keeping his word, our heart, as we give, our heart should be committed to his will. We know it's his will to supply for the needs of our local church. We know that it's his will even to help the poor. We find that in the scripture. He mentioned it here. You know, they took up offerings. We could look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, where Paul was collecting for the saints in Jerusalem and so on. And so we know it's his will to supply. These are especially, you know, he's committed himself to supply for his children. He said that seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And God will do that. But God works through his people. Is that not true? And so, I mean, God's going to supply, but he might use you to facilitate that. You think about the scripture often quoted where he says, give, and, you know, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. He said, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure and all that. And then it says, shall men give into your bosom? So the principle there, you know, is this. Think about it. You give, the promise is God will give back to you, right? Is that true? And he says that in God's giving back to you, it's even going to be, you know, pressed down. It's like when you measure powder or brown sugar, right? You pack it in there, get it all as much as you can, press it down. And then running over, heap it up a little bit, because a little extra brown sugar can't hurt, right? So, you know, so that's the way he gives to us. So you give, he'll give to us. Now, it's the promise that God's going to give back to you, but then he says, shall men, he uses men to do it, shall men give into your bosom? So what I'm saying there is that we can work with God in the will of God, helping to supply. I mean, the missionaries, they're walking by faith, not by sight. They're trusting in the Lord to provide for their needs. They're praying, they're sacrificing, they're going, and God's committed to taking care of them. And so what does God do? He touches the hearts of us to help supply that. And then we're involved in the will of God, the work of God, through that. So if your heart is, you know, so what does it reveal about your heart, your giving? It reveals that you are concerned about the Word of God, the will of God, and then the work of God. And that was letter C. I was gonna turn to another scripture. I'm debating whether we want the time. Let's do it. We're not in a hurry, right? This is 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. Verse number 8. 1 Kings 17, Elijah, the prophet, in this chapter, he is fled from Jezebel, and God's taking care of him. First of all, in the first 6-7 verses of the chapter, there's ravens come and feed him and so on by the brook Cherith. And then in verse 7, I guess, is where the brook dries up. And then, you know, the Lord's still going to take care of his prophet. So in verse 8, it says, "The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it. And then we have nothing left, we'll die." So she says, and die. "And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me after, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And of course the barrel didn't run out. Now the point I wanted, it's the point I was making already that I see in this, is that this scenario there is really about God is supplying for Elijah. That's what it's about. God's taking care of his prophet. But he used a widow woman, just like this widow who Jesus observed. She was poor. And she gave all she had. She just had a little bit of meal, a little tiny bit of oil. And with it, she made a cake. She was planning to eat it herself, and that would be it. But she gave it to the man of God. So God used this widow to supply the need of the prophet. And because she obeyed the Lord, not only was the need of the prophet supplied, but then God in turn took care of her as well. And so we see an example there of how, you know, God wants to supply for his work. He can use us, and sometimes it takes a sacrifice, as it did for these widows. But in giving that, we get to be involved in supplying the need for God's man and God's work or so forth, and bring the blessing and supply from God to help us. So, when we give, the purpose of our giving is to give our heart. When we give from our heart, it demonstrates our faith, it demonstrates our obedience, it demonstrates our trust in God, and our love for the work of God and the will of God. In Philippians chapter 4, there's another reference. You'll remember it. Paul talks about this. The Philippians, they sent their once and again to Paul. Remember how he said, he basically said, if I can remember right, he said, "As touching giving and receiving, no church other than you gave, but you sent to me and supplied my need." And then he talks about, not that I want a gift, but that it'll be fruit that abounds to your account, right? So they were giving to Paul, and they were giving, and really what was that? That was to the work of God. I mean, did they love Paul? Sure they did. But they didn't give that just because they appreciated Paul. They appreciated Paul because they appreciated the work he was doing. I think that's very true. I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about today and so on. And today you guys gave an offering to me and my family just simply because you love us. And we appreciate that. And I think this church loves us as much as any church ought to love their pastor and family. But you wouldn't give to me forever just because of that. Right? You give, you supply our need because of the work, because of the job, if I can put it that way, the office for which I fulfill. And that's right. I mean, honestly, if I stopped preaching and just sat down, you're not going to keep paying me. Neither should you. It's not your responsibility. It's because of the work. So the point I'm making is that we give to it because of the work. The reason we give to the missionaries is because of the work they're doing. Mm-hmm. We want to be involved in the work of God. So, it shows our heart. It shows our heart concern for the will of God, the work of God, the Word of God. Now, that's the purpose of giving. Let's talk a little bit about the plan of giving. There's more about financial stewardship than just giving, but the foundational principles, if we of this plan of giving, I think if we follow them, we'll have all we need. So there's really just a few simple points. It's the Bible doesn't make it complicated. We know about tithes and offerings, right? So just simply, the outline is simple. Number one, or letter A, however you want to write it down, is in the plan for giving is this: give tithes to God's house. We read in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall be no room enough to receive it." There shall not be room enough to receive it. So we know that God says to bring the tithe into the storehouse. We all know what the tithe is, right? Everybody knows that? All the young ones, Chana, you know what tithe is. It's 10%, right? So 10%, that's easy to figure out. I'm not good with math, but I just move the decimal point and you can get 10. So if you got $500, you just move it over, you got 10%, it's $50, right? So that's easy to figure out. And we're to bring the tithe. Now, I know all the arguments about that we're not under the law to tithe, and I'm not going to argue with you if that's the way you feel about it. But I believe that tithing is still God's plan to meet the needs of the local church. And really, when you think about this plan, it just makes so much sense. I look at it and I go, boy, the Lord really had this figured out. Which I say kind of jokingly, because obviously God has everything figured out pretty well. It's just that we clue in on it, you know, and we go, wow, Lord, you're smart. But, you know, tithing is the starting point. And, I mean, I think about it like this. There's a couple reasons why it makes so much sense. First of all, it puts God first. Because when you think about taking right off the top, I mean, you know, you get paid, and even, you know, like we do this, now my wife gets money. Now, what I do every Sunday morning, I go to our bank online, and I look for the week, see what's come in. You see all the stuff that went out, but you also see what came in. And then I see a deposit from Black Press, and it says so much. But I know that that's after they took the taxes off, right? So then I have to ask my wife, can you look up on your work website and tell me what was the check before the government took what they wanted? And then we tithe off of that, right? And so when Rick gives me a check, there's deductions already made, and I have to look up and see what was the original amount, and I tithe off of that. So that's right off the top. And to me, that's like saying, God, you're first. You get off the first part. Before Canada They're not first. God's first. Before any other deductions I might have off of there, union dues or whatever it is, and before any of those, God, you get the first. You get the first portion. And what is that portion? Well, it makes sense. God gave us a percentage in the Bible. And so you could come up with, you could say, well, we want to give God off the top. What should it be? And come up with an amount. But why do that when God already gave you one? He gave you 10%, right? So I just think it makes sense to follow that. So that's what I believe, and that's what I see it as. So God's figured this out for us. It puts God first. It makes it makes the sacrifice equal for every member, right? Because it doesn't matter if you got $1,000 this week or William, you got $20 this week. 10% of whatever it is 10%. So the sacrifice is the same. And that, so it doesn't mean it puts more burden on, like in our society, they want to, they say, well, the rich, they have more to give. They should give more. Well, 10% of theirs is more than 10% of mine, but it's still 10%. So it seems fair to me. It's also the only method that's clearly detailed in the Bible, as I already kind of said that. And I put this down. It's an easy entrance into giving to God. Because when you think about it, all that belongs to God, 100%. And he says, here's how we'll split it. 90-10. You get 90, just give me 10. Who can't do that? I mean, that doesn't sound like you wouldn't say, well, wait a minute, God. You mean you're giving me all this, but you want 10 back? You get to keep 90, Doesn't sound like that hard. I don't know. It sounds like a good deal to me. If you came to me and said, we're going to split this, you get 90 and I get for 10, I'd be like, boy, that sounds like I get the, you know what I'm saying? So I'm just saying, I see it as an entry point, but it's an easy entry point. Now, as you grow, you understand, hey, I can give more than that. I mean, God deserves more than just 10. We'll talk about offerings in a minute. But tithing makes so much sense to me. It's it puts God first. It makes the sacrifice equal. It's not that difficult. And it just makes sense. It's biblical. So that's the tithe. Now, tithes, so first, here's the plan. Give tithes to God's house. That's the supply of the local church. And then letter B, give offerings for God's work outside. We already saw how the Philippians gave to help Paul, to support his work for God outside of their own church. They gave offerings. We support this church with our tithes, but we don't want to stop there. We want to be involved in God's work outside, and we do that through offerings. So, as we'll have the missions conference in just a few more weeks, most of you know how this works, but we ask that you don't take the tithe and give it to missions. That continues to go here, but then an offering above and over the tithe goes to the work of missions. And we want to be involved in God's work, not just here in Castlegar. Surely this is important for us to do that, but we don't want to stop there. We want to continue. We want to reach beyond us and help works beyond us, and that's what we do through offerings. And primarily, it's in the area of missions. Perhaps sometimes we give offerings in other needs, but if somebody's in need of rent money or food, whatever it is, we can give offerings in that area as well. And we have from time to time. Now, listen to this verse. You could look it up. It's in 2 Corinthians 8, but listen to it. It's verse 12. Paul says, "For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened." Do you understand what he's saying there? He's saying now, we start off first, we want to have a willingness, a ready mind, a willingness to give. But then he says, accepted to give as a man has. God doesn't expect you to give what you don't have. He expects you only to give out of what you have. Because he doesn't want others to be eased. It wouldn't make any sense, you know, like them giving to help the brother in need. So if Cameron is in need and I have money, he doesn't. I give him all the money. Now he's eased, but now I'm broke and I can't eat. So then what does he have to do? He has to give it back to me. And there's no point in us keep giving it back and forth. So it only makes sense that, you know, if I have extra and I can give an offering, now that I've already given my tithe, that belongs to God, but I can give a free will offering, it's out of what we have. Sometimes we may not be in the position always to give very much above the tithe, if any. And God doesn't expect that. An offering is something we give freely. So, but the fact is, most of us, it's not a big burden to give in an offering. All right, so where are we here? We've talked about giving the tithe to God's house, give offerings to God's work. Now there's one more category, and that's give savings to yourself. There's nothing wrong with being wise about saving or supplying and using your own, you know, that percent, you know, you gave 10 to God, then you give some others to God, but you still have others money left over, and some of that is smart to save or to invest in your own family, your own life, and so on. Let me give you some scripture. Proverbs 13:22 says, "A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children." In Proverbs 21:20, it says, "There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up." So those verses tell us that if you're wise and a good man, that, you know, God's going to supply, and you'll have the wisdom to care for and have things in your need. A fool spends it up. A fool squanders it and wastes it. Now, there's a couple things I put down just to help you in thinking about this. Plan your monthly budget. It's not a bad idea. I know a lot of folks have a hard time living on a budget. But a budget can be very, very helpful. And all of you ought to have some form of a budget. Some maybe need to be quite regimented about it. Others maybe a little looser. But as long as you're using the money God's given you wisely, be generous, be wise, plan your monthly budget. Proverbs 27:23 says, "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds, for riches are not forever." So I don't think you have many flocks and herds of animals, but you know, that was the property they had in those days. Whatever your property is, your material things, he says, be diligent to know the state of it. You know, you ought to keep track of it. I like looking every week, every Sunday, checking it out. You know, okay, I don't look at it any other day, but I at least look at it once a week and see what's there. And if it says it's empty, well, then I know we gotta do something. But, you know, it's basically a budget. Now, listen to this. I read this somewhere, and I think it's a good statement. A budget forces you to identify what is a need and what is a want. Isn't that true? A budget forces you to think about that. Okay, I'm budgeting for this because this is a need. I'm budgeting for that, it's a want. And maybe, you know, that goes in the budget in an area where if it's possible, we could do this. But it makes you think about it. So That's one very wise principle, make a budget. This is the second one, we're almost done. This one should be self-explanatory, but maybe not to everybody, and that is pay your monthly bills. Pay your bills on time. And that's important. In Romans 13, he says, render therefore to all their due. And verse 8 says, owe no man anything. So the Bible teaches us to pay our bills on time, to live within our means. Proverbs 21:17, he that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. Sadly, many of God's children are spending God's resources on the world's pleasure and are in essence poor, both financially and spiritually. So, those are some principles. Giving, we saw the purpose. God wants our heart. Our heart should be involved in the obeying the Word of God, involved in the will of God, involved in the work of God. So we want to give from our heart to those. We see the plan, tithing, offerings, saving, making a budget, paying our bills, being wise. All of those things involve, or all those things add up to wise financial stewardship. So when we follow these principles in regards to tithes, offerings, establishing personal savings that result from planning your budget and paying bills, you learn God's blessing. You learn that God does keep His promise and God will take care of you. So I hope those thoughts can be a help to you in the area of finances. Let's stand and we'll pray together.